Book of Mormon Commentary on Isaiah by Gerald N. Davis. The Book of Mormon tells us that in the last days the Gentiles will have a record of the Jews containing the covenants of the Lord and many of the prophecies of the holy prophets. 1 Nephi chapter 13, verses 20 through 25. Since the nations and kingdoms of the Gentiles, 1 Nephi chapter 13, verse 3, will have the writings of the biblical prophets, including those of the prophet Isaiah, the question naturally arises, why would Mormon include 21 nearly complete chapters of Isaiah in the Book of Mormon? Why this duplication of Scripture? To one who believes in the divine stewardship of the production, transmission, and translation of the Nephite records, the inclusion of these writings from the prophet Isaiah must surely be attributed to a divine purpose. In fact, Nephi himself indicates that this repetition of Isaiah's passages is for the benefit of the people in the last days, and especially for the benefit of his own descendants. For I know that they shall be of great worth unto mine own people in the last days, for in that day shall they understand them. Wherefore, for their good have I written them. 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 8. Two benefits from the duplication. One benefit from the duplication of Isaiah is the correction of some errors in our English translation, the King James Version. The Isaiah text in the Book of Mormon is an inspired rendering of text taken originally from the brass plates of Laban and which consequently predates our current Isaiah text by several centuries. After Lehi's departure from Jerusalem with the writings of Isaiah on the brass plates, some changes apparently occurred in the Isaiah manuscripts from which our current Bibles have been translated. One interesting example of change occurs in 1 Nephi chapter 20, verse 2, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 2, in which the King James Bible states that the priests of ancient Israel stay themselves on the God of Israel, while the Book of Mormon text of this passage states that they do not stay themselves on the God of Israel. To illustrate, here is another significant change through the prophet Joseph Smith's translation. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 10 reads, "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered." But 2 Nephi chapter 27, verse 5 corrects this passage to read, "The Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. For behold, ye have closed your eyes, and ye have rejected the prophets, and your rulers and the seers hath he covered because of your iniquity." In addition to the fact that this duplication of Isaiah in the Book of Mormon corrects textual errors, some minor, some major, a second benefit for this duplication of Isaiah is that the Book of Mormon Isaiah text comes complete with a number of specific commentaries about that text, an advantage the biblical Isaiah does not have. By following closely these commentaries on Isaiah by Lehi, Nephi, Jacob, and especially the Savior, we learn that next to the message of the atonement of Christ, the major message of Isaiah, and consequently of the Book of Mormon, is the restoration of the house of Israel in the last days, the scattering and gathering foretold. When Nephi returned to the tent of his father Lehi following his marvelous vision, see 1 Nephi chapters 11 through 14, he found his brothers disputing one with another concerning the things their father had taught them about the house of Israel, the olive tree, and the Gentiles. 1 Nephi chapter 15, verses 2 and 7. Nephi gives them a brief explanation of their father's words, emphasizing that in the latter days, 1 Nephi chapter 15, verse 18, the house of Israel would be remembered and restored again. It is at this point that the prophet Isaiah is mentioned for the first time in the Book of Mormon, and the major theme of the restoration is introduced. "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, spake much unto them concerning the restoration of the Jews in the latter days. And I did rehearse unto them the words of Isaiah, who spake concerning the restoration of the Jews or of the house of Israel. And after they were restored, they should no more be confounded, neither should they be scattered again." 1 Nephi chapter 15, verses 19 and 20. Nephi informs us that his concern for the restoration of the house of Israel was first impressed upon him by his father. From 1 Nephi chapter 10, Nephi quoting Lehi, we learn the following. 1. Jerusalem would be destroyed, and the Jews would be carried away. See verse 3. 2. They would return and possess again the land of their inheritance. See verse 3. 3. The Messiah would come and take away the sins of the world, but he would be rejected and slain and then rise from the dead. See verses 4 through 11. 4. The house of Israel would be scattered upon all the face of the earth. See verses 12 and 13. 5. The Gentiles would receive the fullness of the gospel, and then the house of Israel would be gathered together and come to the knowledge of the true Messiah, their Lord and their Redeemer. Verse 14. Nephi's own commentary on Isaiah begins in 1 Nephi chapter 19, where he tells us that in order to more fully persuade them, Nephi's people, to believe in the Lord their Redeemer, he would turn particularly to the prophet Isaiah. See verse 23. With this context and commentary as preparation, Nephi then copies from the brass plates those sections that now constitute Isaiah chapters 48 and 49. A question from Laman and Lemuel prompts Nephi's further commentary. What meaneth these things which ye have read, they ask, 1 Nephi chapter 22, verse 1. In answer to their question, Nephi summarizes, 1. The house of Israel would be scattered upon all the face of the earth and also among all nations. See verse 3. 2. God would then raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles who would continue the scattering of Israel. Verse 7. 3. Then God would proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles which would greatly benefit scattered Israel. Wherefore, it is likened unto their being nourished by the Gentiles and being carried in their arms and upon their shoulders. See verse 8. The Lord would also bring his covenants and his gospel unto those who are of the house of Israel. Verses 9 through 11. And they shall be gathered together to the land of their inheritance, and they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness, and they shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. Verse 12. Nephi's commentary on Isaiah, chapters 48 and 49, in 1 Nephi, chapter 19 and 22, is entirely consistent with his father's teachings, which Nephi gave us earlier in chapters 10 and 15. Jacob continues the pattern set by his brother Nephi. I will read you the words of Isaiah, and they are the words which my brother has desired that I should speak unto you, because ye are of the house of Israel. 2 Nephi, chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Jacob then quotes again from Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 22. I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles. 2 Nephi, chapter 6, verse 6. Next, Jacob prefaces the message he is about to quote with a repetition of Lehi and Nephi's commentary. 1. Those who were at Jerusalem had been scattered. 2 Nephi, chapter 6, verse 8. 2. They would return. Verse 9. 3. Christ would be born among them, but they would reject and crucify him. Verse 9. 4. Those at Jerusalem would be scattered again, driven to and fro. Verses 10 and 11. 5. The Lord would remember the covenant and set himself again the second time to recover the house of Israel, quoting from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, through the Gentiles. Verses 12 through 14. After this preparatory outline, Jacob quotes Isaiah, chapters 50 and 51, 2 Nephi, chapters 7 and 8. At the outset of 2 Nephi, chapter 9, Jacob clearly tells us why he has quoted these two chapters and what their major message is. I have read these things, Isaiah, chapters 50 and 51, that ye might know concerning the covenants of the Lord, that he has covenanted with all the house of Israel. Verse 1. One aspect of this covenant, as Jacob then goes on to explain, is that the time will come when Israel shall be restored to the true church and fold of God, when they shall be gathered home to the lands of their inheritance, and shall be established in all their lands of promise. Verse 2. Light on the Atonement. Jacob's commentary in 2 Nephi, chapter 9, opens with a discussion of the gathering of Israel in the last days. Then it moves to a powerful discussion of Christ's mission, particularly on the saving power of the infinite atonement. 2 Nephi chapter 9, verse 7. In 2 Nephi chapter 9, verse 10, Jacob discusses the two deaths, that monster, death and hell, which I call the death of the body, and also the death of the spirit. This commentary gives added meaning to several passages in Isaiah chapter 51 that Jacob has just quoted in 2 Nephi chapter 8. Isaiah writes, Art thou not he that hath cut Rahab, namely the same as Jacob's death, and wounded the dragon, namely the same as Jacob's hell. 2 Nephi chapter 8, verse 9. Isaiah's use of the words ransomed in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 10, and redeemed, verse 11, takes on broader meaning as sorrow and mourning shall flee away, verse 11, because of the infinite atonement that overcomes death and hell. Among all the sons Jerusalem has brought forth, verses 17 and 18, there is no salvation, as there is no ultimate salvation in the law of Moses and in the prophets. The only sons left are desolation and destruction, verse 19, namely death and hell. And these two sons lie at the head of all the streets, verse 20, as death and hell lie at the end of every life. The question then arises, by whom shall I comfort thee? Verse 19. The answer is Jesus Christ, who has overcome death by drinking the bitter cup himself. The Lord and thy God pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I, the Lord God, have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Verse 22. Jacob's commentary on Isaiah chapters 50 and 51 allows a reading of these chapters that would not likely be considered otherwise. In 2 Nephi, chapter 10, Jacob's commentary on Isaiah continues. Once again, Jacob identifies the major themes that accompany his reading of Isaiah. From 2 Nephi, chapter 10, we read, 1. Christ would come, and Israel would reject and crucify him. Verse 3. 2. Israel would be scattered among all nations. See verse 6. 3. According to the covenant, the house of Israel would be restored in the flesh upon the earth unto the lands of their inheritance. Verse 7. 4. The Gentiles shall be great in the eyes of God in bringing about this gathering. See verse 8. Jacob then shows his consistency with his brother Nephi and his father Lehi by quoting from Isaiah chapter 49, the same book Nephi had quoted in 1 Nephi chapter 21. Yea, the kings of the Gentiles shall be nursing fathers unto them, and their queens shall become nursing mothers. Wherefore the promises of the Lord are great unto the Gentiles. 2 Nephi chapter 10, verse 9. Jacob then takes this promise of the Lord to the Gentiles one step further with a commentary on Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23, when he says, I will soften the hearts of the Gentiles, that they shall be like unto a father to them. Wherefore, the Gentiles shall be blessed and numbered among the house of Israel. 2 Nephi chapter 10, verse 18. Nephi's prophetic insights. With these background commentaries on Isaiah by Lehi, Nephi, and Jacob, we can better anticipate and search out Isaiah's meanings in the long section of Isaiah comprising 2 Nephi, chapters 12 through 24, Isaiah, chapters 2 through 14. Nephi's major commentary on these 13 chapters comes by way of summary and conclusion in 2 Nephi, chapter 25, the chapter immediately following the long Isaiah quotation. Nephi tells us in 2 Nephi chapter 25 that Isaiah's metaphoric and poetic language is difficult to understand, see verses 1 through 6, but that he, Nephi, will give us his own version of Isaiah's prophecy according to my plainness, verse 7. An important part of Nephi's commentary is to identify the time of the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies. In the days that the prophecies of Isaiah shall be fulfilled, men shall know of a surety at the times when they shall come to pass. For I know that they shall be of great worth unto mine own people in the last days, for in that day shall they understand them. See verses 7 and 8. Nephi then gives his own prophecy in plainness, which is also his commentary on the 13 chapters of Isaiah he has just quoted. Nephi's prophecy follows the familiar pattern of the rejection of Christ and the scattering and restoration of the house of Israel. See 2 Nephi chapter 25, verses 9 through 17. Using as a guide Nephi's commentary on Isaiah in 2 Nephi chapter 11 and chapter 25, especially verses 9 through 17, we can make our way more confidently through these 13 chapters of Isaiah. Nephi concludes his summary of the long quotation of Isaiah by quoting two significant passages from Isaiah in 2 Nephi, chapter 25, verse 17. And the Lord will set his hand again the second time to restore his people from their lost and fallen state. quoting from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. Wherefore, he will proceed to do a marvelous work and a wonder among the children of men, quoting from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 14. It is interesting to note that Nephi's statement that the events depicted in Isaiah chapter 11 would take place in the last days, 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 8, was confirmed at the time of Moroni's visit to the prophet Joseph Smith. We read in Joseph Smith, History 1, verse 40, "In addition, he, Moroni, quoted the 11th chapter of Isaiah, saying that it was about to be fulfilled." The commentary in 2 Nephi, chapters 26 and 27, is the most helpful explanation we have of Isaiah chapter 29 in the Book of Mormon. It differs from earlier commentaries by providing not only introductory and summarizing remarks, but also the most specific scriptural intertextual commentary on the matter. The first 11 verses of 2 Nephi chapter 26 prophesy of the eventual destruction of the Nephite nation, a branch of the house of Israel, concluding with, "And when these things have passed away, a speedy destruction cometh unto my people," verse 10. Nephi then turns his attention to Isaiah's prophecy about the restoration of the Nephite nation in the last days. Without Nephi's commentary, no reader would be able to correctly understand this chapter of Isaiah. Nephi begins, "But behold, I prophesy unto you concerning the last days, concerning the days when the Lord God shall bring these things forth unto the children of men. After my seed and the seed of my brethren shall have dwindled in unbelief, and shall have been smitten by the Gentiles." Verses 14 and 15. Then, with only a yea as a connector, Nephi begins quoting from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 3, changing Isaiah's first-person narrative into third-person narrative. "Yea, after the Lord God shall have camped against them, namely against my seed and the seed of my brethren, round about, and shall have laid siege against them with a mount, and raised forts against them, and after they shall have been brought down low in the dust, even that they are not, yet the words of the righteous shall be written, and the prayers of the faithful shall be heard, and all those who have dwindled in unbelief, namely my seed, shall not be forgotten." 2 Nephi chapter 26, verse 15. Nephi continues this methodical explication throughout 2 Nephi, chapters 26 and 27, Isaiah chapter 29, by quoting sections of Isaiah, then commenting, then resuming his quoting more of Isaiah. It is perfectly reasonable, of course, that Nephi should want to give such a careful commentary on Isaiah chapter 29. Nephi understood that Isaiah was prophesying about Nephi's own people, his seed, who had been brought low in the dust, who had dwindled in unbelief, 2 Nephi chapter 26, verse 15, and who, in the last days, would be brought back as part of the rebuilding of the house of Israel. Moreover, Isaiah was prophesying about the record of Nephi's own people, which record later would become the Book of Mormon. We can only imagine the excitement and gratitude Nephi must have felt when, through the spirit of prophecy, 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 4, he began to understand this section of Isaiah and realized that Isaiah was prophesying specifically about his people. Nephi continues this intertextual commentary on Isaiah chapter 29 throughout chapters 27 and 28. But beginning with chapter 28, verse 30, Nephi's revelation becomes identified clearly as the Lord's revelation. "For behold, thus saith the Lord God," it is the Lord who continues speaking throughout the remainder of chapter 28 and through the entire chapter 29. The Savior's commentary on Isaiah. The last full Isaiah chapters quoted in the Book of Mormon that discuss the restoration of the house of Israel are Isaiah chapter 52 and chapter 54. These two chapters are accompanied by a lengthy and detailed commentary by the Lord himself in 3 Nephi chapter 16 and chapters 20 to 22. It is here that the Savior tells of visiting his other sheep, then turns his attention to the destiny of the house of Israel. Again we read that the house of Israel will be scattered, and that they will be gathered again in the last days by a Gentile nation. O house of Israel, in the latter day shall the truth come unto the Gentiles, that the fullness of these things shall be made known unto them. And then will I remember my covenant which I have made unto my people, O house of Israel, and I will bring my gospel unto them. I will remember my covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and ye shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of my gospel. But if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. 3 Nephi, chapter 16, verse 7 and verses 11 through 13. The Savior then turns to a familiar quotation from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 8 through 10. Thy watchman shall lift up the voice. The quote concludes with, The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. 3 Nephi chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. The Savior indicates a sequence of events for Israel's gathering in 3 Nephi chapter 20 and especially chapter 21, which he introduces by saying, I give unto you a sign, that ye may know the time when these things shall be about to take place, that I shall gather in from their long dispersion my people, O house of Israel, and shall establish again among them my Zion. 3 Nephi chapter 21 verse 1. The verses that follow explain when this gathering will take place. The Lord incorporates several quotations from the prophet Isaiah into this explanation, including the familiar statement about the marvelous work. See verse 9. Then in 3 Nephi chapter 22, the Savior quotes Isaiah chapter 54 in its entirety. Verse 3 is perhaps the significant verse relative to the Gentiles' role in restoring Israel. For thou, house of Israel, shall break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. The Savior's comments that great are the words of Isaiah, and that they should be searched diligently, are also very instructive. See 3 Nephi, chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. The scope of this article has not allowed an in-depth study of the Isaiah passages and has not allowed the comparing of the larger Isaiah passages quoted in the Book of Mormon with their commentaries. This brief overview should, however, help readers realize that the key to understanding Isaiah, at least those portions of his prophecies that deal with the restoration of the house of Israel in the last days, can be found in the Book of Mormon commentaries on Isaiah. Gospel Topics, Book of Mormon, House of Israel, Isaiah. Note, Gerald N. Davis, a professor of German at Brigham Young University, serves as High Priest's Group Leader in the Oak Hill Second Ward, Provo, Utah, Oak Hill Stake. End of Book of Mormon Commentary on Isaiah by Gerald N. Davis.